It's been an interesting December, hasn't it? It kind of feels like it's gone quick and slow all at the same time. I'm not quite sure how that works out, but it does. It goes fast and slow. In fact, I have noticed that in, I think it was like early November, around where I live in Engadine, lights were going up, trees were in front windows, and I'm thinking to myself, who does that early November? And I've kind of got the hunch that if we put up the Christmas decorations early, then somehow it would fast forward time so we could see the back of this year and hopefully push into a new year of maybe just some normality. So I kind of got into Christmas lights this year a little bit more because they were sort of up earlier than usual. At least I noticed that. Did you notice that? Because I thought they were up way early. It was Thursday evening. Shell and I and the kids, we hopped in the car and we went to Macca's. We get our dessert, we get our coffees, and we go to Oliver Street. You've got to go to Oliver Street, West Heathcote. There is a transistor radio there. You tune in. There's like four Christmas songs. And the light, the house is like on light steroids. It's kind of like playing before you, and it's not creepy at all as we're kind of bouncing around in the car, and it's an awesome moment. And seriously, it's kind of wow, you kind of feel that sense of joy at Christmas as you see those lights. So I noticed that around Australia there were some like serious lights that went up. So here was, let's go around the states. Here were the best, apparently the best houses in Australia. So here's Perth. Have a look. I like Perth. It kind of I don't know, it sort of suits me. There's thought, there's process, there's structure, there's balance. It's not like you've lost the house. That's Perth. What about Brisbane? Brisbane just, oh gosh, that just, where's the house gone? Seriously, like where's the structure? Where's the organization? Where's the theme? That's just like a light bomb, but very cool, very cool. Seriously, Melbourne. This is Melbourne. Like really? Melbourne? They can, yeah. There's got to be better in Melbourne. That's my opinion. That's Melbourne for you. What about Sydney? Let's go to Sydney. Sydney, that's awesome. I just think, kind of, like, that's a little bit like Brisbane too, but that's like, I hope they've got solar power at home because I can only imagine their light bill. That'd be like astronomical. But my favourite, hands down, don't put the slide up too early. Hands down, my favourite was Dan from Lismore. He went to the tip and he got 90 bikes. And look what he did with 90 bikes. He constructed this Christmas tree. Hands down, my favorite Christmas decoration for sure. And it lights up at night using solar power. 90 bikes. That speaks my world if you know me a little bit. That's all time. That's all time. I can't help but feel, though, that our shiny Christmas lights and all these wonderful decorations that people see, they don't actually reflect what's happening on the inside of the home. Oh, it looks Christmas on the outside, but inside, sometimes the home can tell a different story. Our lives can tell a different story. The ABC ran a really interesting article. It's titled, Why Some People Are Not in the Mood to Embrace Christmas. And it's really a reflection from a journalist from the Sydney Morning Herald, Jamelia, who says that it's meant to be the most wonderful time of the year. Traditionally, a fan of the festive season, Jamelia is not feeling the Christmas spirit this year. The Sydney Morning Herald columnist finds it hard to pretend that the past 2 years didn't happen. We're supposed to do joy on steroids, but I am finding it harder this year to muster up the over-the-top joy and excitement. The trauma that you have had over the past 2 years eventually catches up with you, even when you have tried to outrun it, or in my case, out-sourdoughed and outcrafted it. Last year, I saw Christmas as a turning point to put the past behind me and switch to a better way of doing things, she said. I thought this pandemic was over, we're done, and 2021 would be a better and easier year than 2020 was. But the sadness continues. While we are still seeing people die from COVID every day in Australia and around the world, many of my friends are doing it tough when it comes to income, work hours, and job security. And here's a quote that I want you to pay attention to. For those who have just lost jobs or loved ones, it's almost painful to pretend to be happy at the Christmas lunch table because that's not how they are feeling at the moment. I kind of feel like Jamelia is reading some of our mail today. I think that last moment, that last quote, it's almost painful to pretend to be happy at the Christmas lunch table. Christmas mixed with COVID fatigue, I think, is magnifying our trust, our stress, our frustration, our sadness, our loneliness. There's fractured relationships. In fact, the McCrindle Research recently put out what Australians are most looking forward to, or what they most desire or want at Christmas time. Number one is time with loved ones. Number two is cash. Number three is no present at all. Seriously, of those that were surveyed, it's like our families either show me the money or don't get me a present. I hope that you got some good presents and not just cash this Christmas. But number one, and it makes sense, doesn't it? We just want time with loved ones. Now, why is that? You have to ask yourself. Why is that the most important gift this Christmas? Time with loved ones. Now, it seems obvious, doesn't it? But what I think it highlights for each of us is that what we crave the most in life, I think, is attention. Attention. Attention is such a powerful experience. It's a powerful force. When somebody gives you some attention, they're saying to you that you matter, that I'm interested in you, that I've got time for you. When you receive somebody's attention, when somebody gives you their attention, it feels a longing, doesn't it? It feels a longing. We want to be loved. We want to feel safe. We want to feel secure. We want to feel someone's embrace, somebody's time. It fills up a void that we have inside. So it makes sense. The most important gift that you can give someone at Christmas is time. But psychologists actually go a bit deeper. They actually call this idea of attention attunement. It's a really important idea, this attunement. When a baby is in a cot and its parents or those that are caring for it look down and the baby looks back up and smiles, there is something really powerful happening in that moment. It's called attunement. And for the rest of that child's life as they grow to become adults, we'll be searching for attunement, somebody to be able to focus on them. We're all longing for attunement in some way. And it crushes our soul when we're isolated. Attunement is such an incredible gift. Once we discover it, we realize we can't live without it. And the birth of Jesus Christ is actually the ultimate moment of God giving his attunement to you, to me. Undivided attention. God wants to give you his attunement. In other words, God's face wants to shine on you right now. God, the eternal, limitless creator, wants to shine his face on you right now. God notices you right now. God wants to give you his attunement. That is the heart of Christmas. And now more than ever, I think that we are longing for like a flood of God's peace. And that happens because when God's face shines on you, you know when God's face is shining on you, for there is a flood of something that you can't conjure up within yourself. We don't have enough person power to experience what God can flood into your soul right now. That's a peace beyond understanding. That's a joy beyond words. That's the capacity to even find laughter in the struggle, freedom in what's tough. It comes when the Father who created all things shines his face on you. And the only way he can do that is through the person of Jesus Christ and our response to Jesus. I guess the heart of this Christmas message that I have prepared for us today is this, that God's attunement in our lives brings a peace that heals. That's the heart. What motivates me to stand up here right now in this moment for you and for you at home is that you would experience God's attunement on your life. Because when God's face shines on your life, you can experience a peace that heals. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that we're just all doing great. No, I don't think we're doing great. I think we're fatigued. I think we're tired. I think we're stressed. I think we're full of hurt and pain and frustration and confusion. And where is this all going? People have let us down. Friendships are shattered. Relationships are strained right now. It's not okay. I'm telling you, it's not okay. But here is the gift of Christmas. It's this. When God's attunement, when his face shines on you, his peace can bring a healing that you won't find anywhere else. You see, this peace, it was foretold and it was foretasted around the first Christmas. This peace was foretold hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Pastor Sam read that out for us in worship. Let's have a look at this passage in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Next slide. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. For how long? Say it with me. Forever. Peace forever. And what will achieve it? The zeal of the Lord Almighty will achieve it. And what's God's zeal? It's his love for you. I know we don't always experience the love of God, but that is what the zeal of the Lord is. It's that God genuinely, really loves you. And it's his zeal that will achieve what we long for the most right now, is just some peace in the turbulence of what's happening here in our soul today. You see, this peace is foretold, but it was also foretasted in the first Christmas. Here's three characters within the Christmas story that had a little taste of this peace that Jesus was bringing. And he was only a very, very helpless babe at this point. When Mary was visited by the archangel Gabriel, she had this peaceful acceptance of immaculate conception. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. There was this peaceful acceptance. And the shepherds, when they were in the field and Jesus was born and a heavenly chorus came before them, the angels cried out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And Simeon, when Jesus was just 8 days old, Simeon actually got to take hold of Jesus. He was an elderly man. He's a prophet. He called people back to the heart of God. And God gave him a promise that he would see the day of salvation. He would see when peace would come on earth. Remember, God had been silent for 400 years. 400 years before Jesus, God never said a word. And then suddenly a baby cries. And 8 days old, Simeon holds this baby and he reflects, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. You have prepared in the sight of all nations a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Here it is. This is the light. This is the hope. We see three characters at Christmas. Mary, we see the shepherds, Simeon. They all had this little foretaste of this peace that was coming. And now today, 2,000 years removed, that same peace you can actually reach out and experience right now in this moment of your life by turning to Jesus Christ. He's ready. He's ready to give you his full attunement. Can you believe that for a second? How big is this cosmos? What a speck this planet is. Our life, like seriously, 80 years, that's 2.5 billion seconds. That's all you've got. And there can actually be a moment in history, if only you would turn to Jesus right now and actually experience the attunement of God on your soul, a peace that can rush and fill what you and I are covering up by, hey, I'm all right. If I was to ask you, and quite often as a pastor, I say, how are you going? Yeah, good. No, no, tell me, how are you really going? It's always that second, how are you really going? That maybe a little bit of what's happening on the inside comes out. Let me ask you, how are you going? No, 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 I know you're good. How are you really going? Because right now you're in a moment where you could actually reach out and grab the peace of God through Jesus. God's attunement in our lives brings a peace that heals. Oh, I just hope that you can hold on to that throughout this Christmas. I think that this is so important for us. In Luke chapter 13, we see a story of Jesus Christ who was teaching in a synagogue, now as a fully grown man in his 30s, and a woman who was hunched over, crippled for 18 years, physical ailment, hunched over, and she comes into this synagogue. Jesus is teaching, and we read this in Luke chapter 13. She was bent over and could not straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up. And her response? She praised God. Here, this woman has a physical ailment. Yes, she's crippled. And today, some of us have physical ailments. But I think that deep down, our soul is crippled right now. The toll of COVID has left us, I would say, emotionally crippled and struggling and limping and fatigued. And here we see this incredible, powerful moment, these words that can change your life when we read, when Jesus saw her. You see, there was a moment where this woman caught the eye of Jesus. When he saw her, he was filled with compassion. I want to say for you today, God sees you. He really does. He seriously does. Jesus sees those tears that you shed that nobody else sees. He sees that moment. Jesus sees when you're waking up at 3 a.m. and you're worried. He sees that worry. Jesus sees when you have been absolutely crippled by somebody, a comment that has hurt, and you left that moment feeling painfully hurt, and he sees that you're alone. He sees that today you may not be able to go to a family member's house because of a medical status and it's causing you pain. He sees that moment for you. He sees your fatigue. He sees that you are weary and he sees that you are lonely. It hasn't been an easy time leading either, but I know that God sees me and it gives me a peace and a strength to keep going. That same Jesus that saw that crippled lady is the same Jesus that sees your crippled soul right now. And do you notice what Jesus did? He put his hands on her. When you allow Jesus to put his hands on your crippled soul, that is when God's attunement on your life brings a peace that will change your life and direction for all eternity. But I think so often we go, no, I'm good. No, I'm fine. I'll just keep battling on. I'm sweet. I'll get through. We'll muster up. You know, I've seen so many families this year fall apart because of the stress and the worry and the struggle. Everybody says they're okay until they're not okay. You don't have to get to rock bottom. Today, you can actually experience the love of God right now. Jesus put his hands on her, and immediately this crippled woman straightened up and she praised God. You see, the biggest challenge for us experiencing God's attunement on our soul is this: we sin. We rebel against God. If this is God over here wanting to shine his face on us, we turn our back on God and we go, no, no, I'll just do it my own way. I know best. We may not say that to God, but our life reflects that. It's an I know best life. I'll make it up my own way. I've got my own path. I've got my own dreams, my own plans. And we've got our back to God and God's like, would you just turn to me? And God tries to get your attention, but sometimes we're just too stubborn to turn back this way towards a God that knows best for you. We'd rather stay away. It takes boldness to turn to God. But when we turn to him, there is a God right there. And he's reaching out for you right now because Jesus lived a life that you can't. He lived a life of perfection. No one's good enough for God. Doesn't matter how good you are, you need to be perfect, and no one's perfect. Jesus lived a life that you can't. And then he died a death on a cross in your place. When he was on that cross, all the wrath of God was poured upon him for our sin. But he's not in the grave. 3 days later, he rose back to life, and that's why we can actually turn to a real living God and experience his peace right now. And you only have your life to do it. And Jesus is coming again. And if you do not turn to Jesus, then you'll be separated from God for all eternity. But if you turn to Jesus and confess your sin and say, Jesus, I need you, forgive me. If you were to do that and turn to him, you would actually experience a freedom. Do you notice what happened to this woman? Jesus said, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. If you were to turn to Jesus, then you would also experience what this woman experienced. If you were to turn to Jesus and confess your sin and choose to follow him, you would hear Jesus say the same words to you today. You are set free from the infirmity of your crippled soul, and you can experience the peace of God. God's attunement changes everything within. When his face shines on you, it fills you with a love to be able to forgive. When God's face shines on you, it fills you with a joy that can make you laugh in the struggle. That's your choice. You can keep your back turned to God and keep making it up your own way, and I'm telling you, don't do that. It's a lonely, broken, there's no hope there, but you turn to Jesus. And Jesus can set us free from our crippled soul. I'd love to lead you in an opportunity to respond to Jesus today. Make this Christmas a Christmas where you receive the greatest gift, and that's Jesus. You may be following Jesus for a long, long, long time. Reach out to him again. Keep holding on to him. Turn to him in this moment. This is the most important moment of your whole Christmas day. For me personally, as I pray, I'm genuinely still turning to Jesus and wanting to hold on to him. This prayer, as much as it is for me, as I hope it is for you, I encourage you, why don't you pray along with me? Father, I just want to thank you for this moment, this Christmas, where we can experience your attunement on our soul. And when your face shines on us, I thank you that it can fill us, and it fills us with a peace that can heal. Lord, today, we may do our best to make sure we're looking okay, but I thank you that you see beyond our facade and you look straight into our soul, and you are the one that can see exactly what we are feeling and experiencing and have gone through. Thank you that you see us today. And Lord, we want to turn our lives to you afresh. We want to reach out for you. We long for this peace that can heal. So Lord, we're going to reach out for you. Can I encourage you to just pray along with me? I'm just going to pray a line. Just in the quietness of your own mind, reach out for Jesus again. Jesus, I need you. Shine your face on my soul forgive me for my sin. I don't know best. Maybe for you right now, you need to put your most pressing need before God. He sees what's happening on the inside. Share that with Jesus. Jesus, I want to follow you. Set me free. Lord, I thank you for this moment where we can turn to you again. Whether that's for the first time or whether that's for the 100th time. Jesus, I thank you that you are always near us. And as we turn to you, I thank you that you promise to give us your full attunement. And may that be the greatest gift that propels us into another season of struggle, because you give us freedom. And I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.